Hello everyone, welcome to this chapter number 5 of Principles of Management. The chapter is titled as Planning, as you can see, and we are going to be talking about something which we think we know, but there are certain aspects which need to be considered. Here we are talking about a scientific approach towards planning, scientific approach towards managing. And so we talk about a systematic way of planning. And those details are what are going to be discussed in the next few minutes. If you look at this small picture given here, you can find some arrows, you know. One arrow going plan for process improvement, arrow going to jot down the project plan. Project plan can be a good communication medium. And further down the arrow goes. Now, what does the arrow mean? As most of you know, it's called as a flow chart, a flow chart. Flowchart means what goes from one end to the other end, in what order it needs to go. So what we have depicted in the very first slide on the title slide is a depiction about the need for going systematically one after the other. The need for understanding what comes before, what comes after. Consider the times when you have done some planning, and I am sure you will agree that too many ideas, too many things to be done, and you land up doing it in a zigzag fashion. Does it not happen? Say, for example, out here, plan for process improvement. If this gentleman is having a zigzag thinking, chaotic thinking, what he would do is plan for process improvement will be in his mind. He may do this first. Project plan can be a good communication medium. Then he may go here, again come back here, and so on and so forth. Do we do it in a zigzag manner or not? Many a time we do it. Take small things, studying for the exams. Do you plan? You make a timetable. But do you know what you need to do before the timetable? Do you go systematically like the flow chart out here? Are we trying to make you robotic? Answer is no. The mind has got, the brain has got all the capacity to solve all problems. It plans, it does everything. No doubt about it. We are not underestimating ourselves. We are only telling ourselves that when we are running organizations, when we are into the management process, we need to have a certain systematic way of doing things. Organize our thoughts, which I spoke about in chapter 1. And then organize our own resources within. And then take it one after the other. How well you are organized in your life, how well you are organized in your thoughts and actions, are determined by the way you take up the planning process. Planning requires a tremendous amount of centered thinking, maturity, patience, and time. Now, these things are there in all of us, but we tend to get impatient. We tend to get laid back, on the other hand. Or we may just take things for granted and we'll say, okay, things are happening, they will anyway happen. So many people do not go for planning. Many people do not plan in this order like a flow chart, not systematically, serially, they don't do it. Now this chapter opens up a certain perspective. There is a theory to planning which everybody will anyway learn. But my role as a facilitator is to ignite in you the need for you to do this planning in a systematic manner using your thinking process. There are two ways of going through this module. One is listen to me for the purpose of exams, jot down all the important points, and then you're done with it. The other way, which is what I would recommend, is to reflect upon each and every process which we are talking about with respect to one's own thinking and where one is right now. It's possible that you're already doing a flowchart type of a planning. It's possible that you're already a good planner. Yet, some inputs coming from here, from me, might add on to your existing way of working. So my request to all of you is stay tuned, listen to what's being told, and reflect upon it. So you can go slowly, understand it, reflect upon it, put down your jottings, and then take it further. This is my invitation to all of you who are listening to me, because this chapter planning is a very, very routine chapter people run through, and they just think that there's no planning. Few terms and terminologies they talk about, but in action, underline, in action, planning is absent. It shows the way they get haywire, they get chaotic in the beginning, during, and after a certain goal is to be achieved. So, let's take the very first slide, which talks about planning can start only after the goals are set. I've spoken about goal setting in the earlier chapters. I've spoken about SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable or achievable, realistic and time bound. Now, goals have to be first set. If you don't set the goals, anything after that is a flop show. So it's important for us to know that goals are the starting point of any management process. And so planning can start only after the goals are set. Next, planning is nothing but timetable of events and activities for deployment of resources or resources to be put into action in order to achieve predetermined goals. So what are we doing? We have a timeline from now till a certain point which we envisage for the next 1 year, let's say. So from now till next 1 year, on the timeline, on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis, we plot what activities we need to do, action steps, which is involving methods of the five resources. And the resources, activities M, methods, and the four resources that need to be deployed into the activity. So two terms we need to understand, the activities and the resources. Activity constitutes the fifth M, methods, and the resources constitute the four M's, men, machine, materials, and money. So when am I going to use, how many men, how many machines, how much of materials, how much of money? And with that, what am I going to do? A combination of these two things, activities and resources, is to be determined in terms of time frame from now on till the end of the goal achievement. That's in short about planning. This is what we need to do. But what happens? Planning is about future looking. We are looking into the future. I am planning something, standing here today, for something which I want to do tomorrow. Now, tomorrow is a big suspense. To an extent, I can predict the probability of something going right or wrong. To an extent, I can predict the probability of something going right or wrong. But to a large extent, I cannot predict the probability of something that goes right or wrong. In fact, the shorter the time frame from today till the goal achievement, the level of predictability is fairly good. But the longer the period, the level of predictability is pretty challenging. For example, right now it's summer in Mumbai. And suppose somebody is going to ask me, do I need to carry an umbrella tomorrow? The probability of a rain tomorrow is practically zero. So I may really not carry an umbrella. It cannot ever happen. The chances are absolutely slim that there could be rain tomorrow. But suppose I want to know, should I plan to carry an umbrella 1 month from now? Then I may have to think. Probably there's a 50-50 chances of the rains coming. So I might carry an umbrella, I might not carry an umbrella. Let's say 3 months from now, when the monsoons are arriving, then if the same question is asked now, do you think that you need to carry an umbrella 3 months from now? I would say yes, practically yes. So I'm talking about three different time frames, which is shortest, 1 day from today, medium, about 1 month from now, and long, which is about 3 months from now. So the longer the time frame, we find that the level to which our predictions come true or not is different. This one aspect makes planning a big challenge, because tomorrow we do not know what's going to happen. We do not know about what's going to happen 1 month from now. We are not sure about what happens about 3 months from now. We work on what is called as probability. Probably it may rain 1 month from now. It might rain tomorrow by a very, very, very odd situation, but certainly not totally. It will not happen. 3 months from now, the probability is very high. So we have to really get into the probability about what is going to happen in time frame. We'll be covering that as we go down the line for discussing this, right? So taking it further, the period of planning could be short term, medium term, long term, which I have already explained to you. The duration of long term can be 1 year in case of a banking, whereas in case of a large manufacturing plant such as a steel plant, short term itself could be 1 or 2 years. When I ask this question to students in the classroom, what is long term, people shoot off figures. Now long term, medium term, short term, it is with respect to the nature of the activity. Make a note of it. The nature of the activity will tell you what is long term, what is short term, and what is medium term. Broadly, a guideline which you can follow is any service industry, service sector, the short term can be as short as 1 day, sometimes even half a day. It can be as short as maybe 2 days or maybe a week. The medium term could be somewhat like 1 fortnight or 1 month, and the long term could be 6 months or even 3 months. So one should know the nature of the business to know what is the time frame for short, medium, and long. When you go to manufacturing sector, the manufacturing sector is all about producing goods, storing it, and then selling it, right? So this particular sector is usually having short terms of a longer duration. It could be as long as 6 months, 1 year, maybe 2 years, depending upon the nature of the manufacturing activity. It could be, the medium term could be something like 4 years or maybe even 3 years, and the long term could be as long as maybe 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, depends. So one has to understand there are no absolute figures like 3 years, 2 years. One has to see what activity are we talking about. If you talk about an infrastructure, if you talk about a major project being created, a steel plant being erected, the period of erection of a steel plant till the commissioning could be taking as long as 5 to 7 years. It could be faster also if you have a proper project planning management. So when you talk about any project or any activity, one has to know to break it up into 3 different time frames: short term, medium term, and long term. Now, where do we start from? We start from the long term and we come to the short term. Let's see this. We should first do the long term planning and then do the midterm and then only the short term planning. Now, this discussion is very interesting. There's a section of people who say, let's take what is called as incremental decisions, incremental planning. When I do not know the end goal very clearly, then what I do is I go very slowly and I take it situationally, one thing at a time. So I may plan short term for 2 months or something, and then as it flows, I'll keep on making the changes and I'll take it along, and then finally I may reach the goal in the long run. One way of thinking and doing. The other way of thinking and doing is, first let me determine what is a long term. I got to know what is a long term. So I need to do a lot of thinking process, a lot of brainstorming, a lot of those affinity diagrams which I spoke about in the earlier module, everything I need to do, and then arrive at what could be the long term time frame. Now once I fix the long term time frame, I make the plans for the long term, which is quite challenging at this point of time, and after that I start coming towards the present and come to the medium term time frame. There again, I make the plans based on my forecasting, based on my thinking process, based on other things like planning premises, about which I'll be talking a little later. So I imagine that in the medium term, this would be the type of a scenario that should be created. And then I come to the short term. Now, this approach is going from long to the medium to the short. The earlier approach which I spoke about is taking incremental decisions, medium, short to medium to long. Now, which of the two is preferred? I would always advocate that let's take the long term first, because when I think of the long term right now, I also know what are the challenges in a long term. I have some idea about how the long term could look as of today. I may not have an accurate idea. And when I think of the long term, let's say 4 years from now, I can stretch my imagination, I can use my forecasting, and somewhere I will arrive at what it could be standing here today. If I do not do this and I resort to the first approach of looking at the short term and taking incremental decisions, there's a likelihood that I would be missing out on some significant things because I did not go in for a envisioning, because I did not go in for a long-term thinking at all. Now, this is something I notice when I do my consulting and training with a few companies, and some companies have taken this attitude of going from short to medium by taking incremental steps. There are other reasons which they justify. They say when the resources are not available, we have to take baby steps. When we do not know the time frame and we are experimenting with a new type of a project, then we need to do that. I still say that even if you are taking a new project, even if the resources are not there with you, even if you are not too very sure about the future, please do first and foremost fix the long term. Fixing the long term makes you feel much more under control and confidence. It's very important. Because when you do that, there's a certain reality that is in front of you about the long term, and that reality you can constantly be in touch as you're walking backwards to the medium and the short term. This is my suggestion to anybody who's doing a planning. Take the long term and work backwards. Okay? So, people generally tend to start action without any planning. Many people do this. They set a goal and they simply start walking towards the goal. Now, that is being done by many people for various reasons. But if you really go by the systematic path, one has to do the planning, and most important, planning has to be done on paper, not here. This planning alone is not enough. The planning has to be put in the paper. Why? When I put the planning in paper, I am able to see in front of me, in visual terms, the timeline and the various flow, and it can be seen by everybody. The team can see it, and when the flow chart and the entire plan is in front of us, we can also monitor it from time to time. And when planning is put down in paper, there is another reason, psychological reason. Whenever I write something, it remains in my mind for action to be taken. Whatever I've written will start reminding me that I need to take an action. I don't know how many of you have experienced this, but this is a reality. When you're aware, when you write something down, make your daily plans, you put something on a post-it note and you just stick it on your work desk, I'm sure all of you will agree that you remember to do it. So writing is very important. Planning involves thinking, brainstorming and writing it down. Now what I write down on the first day may get modified later, nothing wrong about it, but the fact that I've written, I've got some pictorial depiction that there is something going on. Because if I don't do this, our brain has got clutter. When things become more and more complex, which happens as we move down the line in our activities, then the brain may not remember things. It will randomly access the memory. And hence it is important for us to put a proper written form of a plan. So I advocate that please write your plans in a piece of paper or a chart and see that it's in front of you all the time, so that you know how to monitor the progress of the plan and the actions. Right? And they make too much, they make too much haste. People are very in a tearing hurry, that as soon as they plan here, which is again not very clear, they immediately plunge into action. I've seen this particularly happening in service sector. The reason why it happens, according to me, what I've seen, is that service is created and consumed at the same time. By definition, service is that. So when I am an insurance person or when I'm a banking person, I plan for something and immediately I have to meet the customer and deliver the particular service. And customers cannot wait, customers have their impatience. And so what keeps happening is people do not plan carefully to understand things. This is one of the observations about service sector where the planning is not done too very well and things happen in a haste. And so we know the consequences of this as consumers of various services that we are subjected to, right? Now, taking it further, as per Kunz and O'Donnell, who are the authors of the book Essentials of Management, a very famous textbook on principles of management, as per Kunz and O'Donnell, they say that planning is deciding in advance what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and who is to do it. In fact, it's a detailing about the action steps to be taken, in what direction, when, where, etc. It bridges the gap from where we are to where we want to go. So between here and there, between the point A and B, B is my destination, A is here. So it is mapping where we have to go, how we have to go, and it is bridging the gap. Right? Now, characteristics of planning. What does planning comprise? Planning is looking into the future. Planning involves predetermined line of action. Predetermined. I determine it today for something which I'm going to do tomorrow. Right? Planning discovers the best alternative out of many available alternatives. This is very interesting. There are people who say that once I plan, I don't change my plans. They get very rigid because they are afraid. They are afraid of not being able to achieve something because of resources. Quite a few people I know who say that once I fix the plans, I stick to it. And they say it with a lot of bravado. Now, if you look at the broader context, plans need to be flexible. Plans cannot be rigid. Because if plans are rigid and the conditions keep changing, the plans would become too oppressive to be executed by the concerned team. If a team of people are working and the reality has changed over a period of time and the departmental boss says that these plans have to go anyway without even being realistic, what happens? The team is going through tremendous amount of pressure. They have to fight all odds, okay? And then the plan which is not changing, they might fulfill the plans and make the boss feel very, very exhilarated, very, very happy. But in that case, what would happen is they have not explored other practicable and much more effective ways of executing the plan. Because one single plan to which one adheres would never ever give you the best results. Today we have very good brands, very good organizations which do planning and they keep situationally being flexible. That's very important. So plans need to be flexible. Now when I do a planning, I have different paths of going to the destination. Let's say that I'm going from a point A to point B. So when I'm going from point A to point B, I could go by train, I could go by bus, I could go by car, I could go by a taxi. And if the distance is too long, then maybe I may fly also. Now these are the various scenarios which I have with me. Now I have to take each of the choices, each of the options, weigh the pros and cons. And then after weighing the pros and cons, I have to decide which is the best alternative to take. Best alternative will depend on what? Available resources and the destination. So I have certain amount of money. I have certain amount of energy. I have certain amount of other things with me. And when I map my present resources, based on that, plus the destination to which I've reached, I would take that course of action. If I have very limited cash and I have to reach fast, in a place like Mumbai, for that matter, I might go for the local train. it's quite inconvenient in terms of travel, in terms of comfort, but then we reach faster, as is our experience of Mumbaikars, right? So one has to keep plans flexible. Now look at the behaviors of many of us. I'm coming to behavior because that is directly connected with the topic. When we are rigid about going to a place and we say, I'll go only by train, I'll go only by bus, and when that particular mode of transport is disrupted, what happens when you're rigid? It creates anguish because you are not flexible. So if you have managed your inner resources flexibly, what I call it a sponge system, if you're like a sponge, then you are willing to be flexible. Now there's a view that says being flexible means I do not have a mind of my own. Nothing can be more stupid than that. You can have a mind of your own, but when you're dealing with organizations, when you're dealing with groups, when you're dealing with large systems, it's important for a person to be flexible in spite of having a mind of his own. So let's not get misled into thinking the leaders have a mind of their own, and once they take up a plan, they execute it. This is well said, but it ill done. Leaders don't do that. Leaders actually are very flexible. They have a mind of their own, and when they plan, they have alternate plans depending upon the situation. At the end of the day, what are you doing? You're planning to get things done, isn't it? So if you do not have a reality check, and if you have only one rigid plan saying that my way or the highway, then the plan is definitely going for a toss. So please inculcate this thinking process in yourself, wherein you need to be flexible. Flexible to the extent, if there's a best alternative is what I will look for. If the best doesn't work, I go for the next and the next and the next, depending upon what is possible. But I need to have alternate plans, in short, right? Planning requires considerable time for implementation. After I plan, I need to do one more activity, which is called as organizing, which is covered in the next chapter. So I need to have some amount of time, a pause between planning and execution. A pause between planning and execution. Please do this in your personal lives also. You plan to go to some relative's place on a holiday. Plan, pause, do something else, which I'll be explaining in the next chapter. And then you take the action. Between planning and action, there comes an interim activity, an interim process called organizing, which I'll be talking in the next chapter. So friends, it's important that we need to pause. These are things which we don't do. We think we know goals. We think we are doing planning. We think we are actually doing execution. But all this is being done without a systematic approach. So when we do this in a systematic manner, we'll find there's a tremendous amount of ease of thinking and action and effectiveness. One has to actually do it to know what I'm talking, right? So, and planning is a continuous process. Once I plan for an activity and the activity has already started after a pause, then the planning doesn't end. I have to further plan for the further course of action. And it's a continuous process. So long as I'm managing some goal achievement, any goal achievement, I have to keep on planning, planning, planning. Whole of life we are living, and life is full of, you know, goals and goals and goals which we are achieving. When you're a kid, you try to achieve a goal of getting into a school. The parents take care of it, of course. After getting into the school, you want to study well, you want to get a certain rank, a grade. And then after that goal is achieved, you enter into the college, junior college. Again, grades, your branch, you're running after a goal. Then after that, you enter into a professional course. And then you enter into a management course. Then a career in industry. Now, are we not running after goals all the time? The goals are different. Content is different. But the process of thinking remains the same. You as a social person, you as a corporate person, you as a householder, you're the same person, and your thinking process, what happens at home, will anyway take over the thinking process at your workplace, will anyway take over the thinking process at the social front also. So there's only one you who's playing different roles. This one you has to understand and realize that my thinking process in the office is not different from the thinking process in my personal life. Now this is something which people do not understand, they do not implement. Very successful logical thinkers in the office, and when they come out, they are totally different. This totally different behavior goes into the office on a very bad day, and this actually comes back again, it replicates. On the days when things don't work out well, don't you agree that your natural behavior comes out? Now, that is what one needs to understand. Am I having a 24/7 all-rounded in all zones of my life? Am I having a planning approach systematically? This is a question. Because people who do that, they'll find that their lives are going very smooth, whether it's a social life, personal life, or the professional life. Okay? So, taking it further, what are the objectives of planning? Why do we need to plan? What's the end purpose? It reduces uncertainty. I get some idea about what's going to happen, if not totally. The absence of planning is more dangerous than the presence of a plan which may not be perfect. In fact, no plan is perfect. But when I do some planning, I'm actually stretching my imagination for a time frame of the future, which is very important, right? It brings cooperation and coordination among people. When there's a plan, I'm conveying the plan to everybody, the stakeholders, my team. So everybody starts understanding and falling in line with what I'm planning. Isn't it essential? They'll cooperate and they will also coordinate with each other, right? Best utilization of available resources brings about economy in operation. Because of planning, one of the objectives of planning is to optimize resource allocation and use. Okay? It anticipates unpredictable contingencies. Contingency is a very important term. I'll be talking about it at the end of this session. Right? Something that happens out of the blue. An earthquake, a tsunami, contingency that can happen, right? Achieves predetermined goals, right? These are the objectives of planning. The nature of planning. Planning, what does planning comprise? It comprises primary function of all other functions. Anything that I want to start in life, I have to plan. Whether I have to take up an education course, whether I have to do this video shoot which I'm doing right now, I have to plan for it. So planning has got a primacy. It always precedes. It comes first before every other activity. Next is planning contributes to objectives. Planning is an intellectual activity. It's about thinking, brainstorming, applying your mind, your wisdom, etc. Experience and all that. Planning results in higher efficiency. Planning is done by every person, be it a CEO or an office assistant. It's common to all. Everybody needs to plan. Let's not get this mistaken view that a person sitting in a tie like me and sitting in an AC room and putting some huge papers and all that and looking very intellectually engaged is planning. He's not the only person who plans. The person who's serving you tea in your canteen in your office is also planning. Maybe his planning is not so glamorous. Maybe he's not planning the way you and I plan. But that can't be ruled out. The man who's selling vegetables in the roadside is also planning. Everybody plans. Okay? The thing is that there are people who plan so systematically that you can see the way they execute and the way they become effective. Right? Now, let's take it further. What is the importance of planning? Why do we need planning? What if I don't do planning? Faulty or inadequate planning leads to ineffectiveness of the organization. Now, when I say faulty or inadequate, let me warn you. Somebody is going to ask me a question. If faulty, inadequate planning is there, then what is the correct way of planning? Let me explain. I have to start with certain assumptions and start a planning process. Now, assumptions are what? Basically, assumptions are reality which I take for granted under the circumstances. Assumptions are reality which I take for granted under the circumstances. As I progress in the path, I start getting in new information about what's happening. So my assumptions get challenged and my assumptions have to change. So when my assumptions change, then I'll be finding that my planning is my roadmap is also understood better by me. Now, faulty planning or inadequate planning means what? Even when new information is coming to you, you are oblivious, you are not open to it, and you continue doing what you earlier planned, you are not taking yourself a feedback and changing your assumptions. If you take, for example, today's scenario, you know, business world, a certain set of assumptions brought about a certain type of a mobile in the market, cell phones. I'm not mentioning the brand. Now, on those assumptions, they ran. Conditions changed, consumer behavior changed. The writing was on the wall. They knew that changes are taking place. Competitors had come in and started eating their market share. But this organization refused to take the feedback and refused to bring about certain adaptive changes. Had they done it, probably they would have survived. Now, when you do not take a feedback and change your assumptions and course of action, that is faulty and inadequate planning. At the start, all planning has got certain things which are assumed. It's a fact, because all the information of the world cannot come to my table. Impossible. I'm not God. I'm a human being. But when it comes to me, am I sensitive to understand the changes and change my assumptions in the bargain? That is important. As I'm going along, I need to take the feedback from what is happening around me, the information, and then keep on changing my assumptions so that my course of action becomes much more effective. That's important, right? So, organizations work in uncertain and ever-changing conditions that become challenging, and hence we need to plan. Effective planning can anticipate the uncertain events and help prepare the workforce to meet the situation to survive, right?